Hi, I'm Ella Sean, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest. For just a moment, let's pretend listening is an exercise in creating art. That every time you listen attentively to other people's thoughts and ideas, what they're saying, that you're creating a priceless piece of artwork. A piece of artwork designed to do one thing and one thing only: elevate and create more and more new awareness, consciousness for humanity. What would this artwork look like? What medium will you use? There's so much to consider, right? Yeah, we'll talk about it. Hello, my enchanted beast. How are you? I am so excited about starting this series. Like, I've been receiving confirmation that this is the right time for a series like this for like 3 months. And like, when I do a series, it seriously relieves me of some of the pressure of having to find interesting topics to podcast about. So that's always a bonus. And I honestly believe that this series can be life-changing. So the title that I gave this series is This Elevator Only Goes Up. And this is episode 1 of this series, and we are at level 1, which is listening. At the beginning of this episode, I asked you to kind of suspend your belief in reality and pretend that listening is an art, and that every time you listen to someone, you are creating a piece of priceless art, right? Designed to elevate more and more new consciousness, right? So I'm going to stick with that metaphor. I do not want you to get lost in the sauce, okay? Don't get stuck in the metaphor, but I really want to stick with the metaphor of listening as an art form, okay? Before I even get into like the meat and potatoes of this episode, I really want to get you thinking about how you listen. Everybody thinks that they're great listeners, right? Very few of us can readily admit, yeah, I don't listen worth a damn. I have no idea what most people are saying to me because I tune everybody out. Most of us aren't going to admit that, right? There are some people who will say, yeah, I have really selective hearing. I hear what I want to hear. I listen for what I'm, you know, or I hear what I'm listening for, right? So everybody understands that not everything that is heard is actually listened to, right? And most of us probably listen with the intent of giving a reply or a response. You know what I mean? It's kind of like you're in this conversation and other people or another person is talking, and you know they're talking, you recognize the words that are coming from their mouth, but in your mind, you are formulating what you want to say about the topic, right? Not so much listening to what's being said, but you are already thinking about what you're going to say about whatever it is you're talking. Yes? And for most people, they assume that they are listening because they are giving a response or giving a reply about the germane topic. But really, if you are not listening with your whole self, if you're just waiting for this person to shut up so you can talk, then are you really listening? No, not really. The human mind is not capable of doing two cognitive activities at once, contrary to the popular belief that multitasking is a real thing. So you are not able to both listen attentively and formulate a response at the same time. So, if you're that person who, while in conversation with a group of people or in conversation with a person, if you're the one who's sitting and formulating your own ideas and thoughts about said topic, then you are not listening. And listening is the beginning of understanding. And for this reason, this is where this series has to start, is with listening. So let us begin at the beginning, yes? If listening is an art, then you have to have artist tools, right? You have to have something in your artist toolbox with which to create what I like to call listening art, right? So I want to spend just a little bit of time talking about these tools that we can use to create beautiful arts of listening that can be used as the foundation upon which we build to elevate all of this new consciousness, right? So the first tool that I want to kind of talk about is patience. Yes, I know. I know. Look, my mom, I love her. She's the quintessential Black Southern mom, right? And you all, if you listen to or if you have gone and seen any of Madea's plays or her movies, like, it's so funny. I don't necessarily, like, watch all of them, but of course I've seen them, right? And so, like, my mom, when she wants to, like, you know, extol all this knowledge and wisdom to my daughters, she'll say in her, I'm not trying to sound like Madea voice, but really this is just the way I talk. She'll say to them, you know, patience is a virtue. And if you can't be patient, then you're not going to get anywhere in life. And we all crack up because it's just so hilarious because she's being so serious, but she's right. Patience is a virtue. It is a quality that shows excellence. It shows grace, right? A patient person has a quality of excellence and grace. That's what makes it a virtue. It shows that a person has self-control. If I'm able to practice patience, if I'm able to be patient, then I am practicing self-control, right? Now, why is patience important if we're creating the art of listening? Here's why. You remember when I said, you know, there are a lot of people who listen, and they only listen with the intent of giving their reply or their response. Like, they're already formulating what they want to say about the topic, not necessarily paying attention to what is already being said, right? Usually those people are the ones who monopolize the conversation. Those are the people who jump in and talk over everyone else because they really feel like what they have to say is extremely important, that it is substantial, more so than anyone else who's talking about something, right? They lack patience as a part of who they are. Therefore, they have no practice in self-control. And most people will call them crass, right? Crass is the opposite of being gracious. Patience is a virtue, the quality of excellence and grace. You need this tool in your artist toolbox when you're creating listening art, because it helps to discipline you, right? Through the practice of self-control, you are disciplined enough to be patient while others are talking. So even though you have something burning the tip of your tongue because it's going to be so great and it's going to blow everybody's mind, you are disciplined in your patience through the practice of self-control that you can sit there and shut up and listen. There's no need to plow over everybody else's ideas. Right? So if we're going to stick with this whole listening is an art, then if you're using the tool of patience, it's going to infuse your work with what my oldest daughter calls pockets of order. When she shared that with me, how we can create pockets of order in an otherwise very hectic and chaotic world through ritual and practice, I was like, oh my God, I gave birth to a genius. And I did. I really did. So I'm crediting my oldest daughter, Kay, with this. But in our patience, this tool, patience, allows us to create a pocket of order. And that pocket of order is filled with silence. Silence. When you're not speaking over everybody else, when you're actually just being quiet, patiently listening, it allows you to focus in on what's being said, to gain some new perspective, to be a part of the conversation, as opposed to being set apart from the conversation, chomping at the bit to take it over, right? So patience is the first tool I would like for you to use in your artist toolbox when it comes to creating listening art. Be patient when you listen. Be patient. Practice self-control. Be disciplined. Right? So the second tool is discernment. Now, wait a minute, because I know a couple of these tools, these words I'm giving you, they are extremely hackneyed, right? Overused, everybody uses them. You know, you've heard this. I'm just wanting a spirit of discernment, or maybe you've used it yourself, right? But what does it mean to be discerning? What does it really mean to have a spirit of discernment? And what does discernment have to do with listening? Okay. When we listen with discernment, we listen with clear-headedness, right? We listen with a knowingness, with awareness of other people's needs, using discernment in your listening art. It gives your artwork depth. It gives a richness to it. And it's not judgmental. Like, no one's going to look at your artwork and see judgment or projection of your own ideas or all that other stuff, right? Because when we listen with discernment, we give room and time and space for this pocket of order where deeper thoughts and understandings can take root and grow. In essence, discernment is that it's that place in your mind where you are listening for deeper understanding. You're not judging what the speaker is saying. You're not judging how the speaker looks or what the tone of the speaker's voice sounds like. You're not judging anything. You're simply listening with a knowing mind. Knowing you're going to get something from this person's conversation, right? You're not listening and projecting your own ideas, your own hang-ups or insecurities, none of that. You are simply listening and waiting for those nuggets of thought that allow you to think deeper, right? When you are discerning, you think about what you are hearing in a way that doesn't judge the speaker, doesn't project your own ideas and thoughts onto the speaker, but you listen and you think about, now, how is what this person's saying useful to me? What am I getting from this conversation? What pieces do I need to hold on to? What pieces can I let go of? Right? That's a discerning listener. Because not everything that's being said needs to stick with you. But when you listen through discerning ears, you know exactly what you need to pull out and hold on to without judging or projecting. Yes, I have repeated myself because that is the number one reason people don't listen. Well, the number two reason people don't really listen, right? Number one, people just want to talk, 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 talk. They want to be heard, even when they're saying nothing, even when they have absolutely nothing to add to the conversation, they still just want to talk and be heard. And because of this, they don't listen. And so the number two reason people don't listen is because they think they have to hear everything. They think they have to take in every piece of information and pass judgment on it immediately, right? They think this is what I'm supposed to do as a good listener. I have to say whether it's good or bad, if it's smart or dumb or stupid, if this person speaks well, if they have a lisp. I have to catalog everything. They're so busy judging what's being said, they're not listening to any of it. Or if they listen and hear, then they start projecting their own ideas, their own hang-ups. And so they're still not really listening to anything. So, The second tool in your artist toolkit is discernment. We want to listen with discernment. The third tool I want to give you is presence. And OMFNG, I'm so tired of hearing this word. I just want to be present in my life. I just want to be mindful of what's happening. Like, I literally, and here's the thing, I am all about being in the moment, right? That's like, be in the moment. Where are you? Here. What time is it? Now. That's it. Because being in the moment is so very important to feeding our beast, right? And I'll get to that. But I'm so tired of hearing the word. I just want to be present. I just want to practice mindfulness. So I really thought I have to find a different word for being present. So this is not necessarily a word nerd girl time, right? Because it really wasn't all that difficult, but it's a little bit word nerd girl. So here we go. When I went through and looked at this word present, you know, I love thesaurus.com, right? I somehow got to the word respectful. And that makes sense to me. So I'm switching out the word presence for respectful. The third tool is respect. When we are creating listening art, the idea of doing so with respect, it's simple, it's basic, it's exactly what you learned in kindergarten, right? We don't talk when others are talking. We don't get up and move around when others are talking. We don't interrupt others when they're talking. Everything they taught you in kindergarten about listening, active listening, throw up your L's for active listening, please. That's what respect is. That's what being present is, right? It is imperative that we are in that moment when people are talking to us, that we're not thinking about what happened over lunch. We're not trying to figure out how we are going to pay our bills next week. We're not on our phones. We're not reading a book. We're not, you know, fiddling with the radio. No, we are in that moment. We are making eye contact, if at all possible. We are giving notice that we are listening. We might give some verbal notice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Because that lets you know that, yeah, I'm listening and I agree with you. Or I may nod my head, or I may shake my head, or my face may give you some indication that I've heard what you said, but I don't necessarily agree with it. But at least you know that I am actively listening. I am respectfully listening to you. Right? Because if we're creating art, when we listen and we use this tool of respect to create this art, then we're giving all of our attention to something that someone else is saying, right? We are giving them that pocket of order. To allow them to develop a sense of sure-footedness, right? A space to develop their own power. and the confidence to go out and empower and influence others. That is what respect does. If we listen, when we listen respectfully, we create this nice pocket of order where the speaker can actually develop a sense of confidence about what they're saying. Right? You give them space to develop their own sense of power in their knowledge, in their speech, in their delivery. And within that power is the ability to go out and empower others, to influence others, all because you chose to listen respectfully when they spoke. This tool is probably one of the most amazing tools in your artist toolbox, being in the moment with that person or those persons who are speaking, letting them know you are right there with them and you respect what they say. Even if you don't agree with any of it, you respect what they're saying and you're giving it 100% of your attention. And look at what you do for the speaker. Because of course, now when it's your turn, right? When you're having this conversation and you've exhibited this respectful listening, then it's reciprocated, right? It's reciprocated. And so now you are developing deeper thoughts. You're developing deeper understandings. You have a sense of sure-footedness and you are in power. And then you go out and empower others and so forth and so on. And that is how I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. But yes, the third tool, presence, but we changed it to respect. That's how we listen respectfully, right? Now, this fourth tool, y'all, it's a doozy. And if you have been with me for a while, then you'll remember the first series from season one, Balancing the Chakras, Healing the Bodies. Okay? And so if you haven't heard it, if you were not with me last season, please go check it out. It's a 7-week series, so it's 7 Mondays, I believe, from last season, where I go through balancing chakras and healing all of the bodies. But we talked about the 6th chakra, the 3rd eye chakra, which is located right between the eyebrows. So sometimes it's called the brow chakra. So everybody always talks about this 3rd eye, right? Oh yeah, I'm 3rd eye open, man. I see everything. I'm seeing all this. And so it's associated with clairvoyance, right? I can see beyond the veil. I can see the unseen. And so it's like very mystical and spiritual. And I'm all about the 3rd eye. It's in this 3rd eye. This is where, when we're creating listening art and we use this tool of the 3rd eye, this is the center of our intuition and foresight. What? Ella? Intuition. You know, knowing without knowing. You just know stuff and you have no idea why you know it. This is where we tap into the collective unconsciousness, right? Through the 3rd eye, we are able to tap into the collective unconsciousness. This is where we dig in and raise up all of this unconscious information. It can't happen without the 3rd eye. Intuition and foresight. Everything we need to know about everything resides in the collective unconsciousness that most of us aren't aware of, right? There's no past, no future, no present in the collective unconsciousness because it's all floating around and everything is everything. This is where it resides, and this is how we access it, is through the third eye. So, I'm going to say something that sounds 100% crazy. But stick with me, yes? Because the third eye is a tool. It is not an anatomical body part, okay? You have to listen with your third eye. You have to create the art of listening with the third eye if you really, really, really want to start elevating new bits of consciousness. From the unconscious level to the conscious level, you have to listen with your third eye. It's the center of intuition and foresight. So, how in the world is this going to help me create priceless works of art, listening art, Ella? Okay. First, we have to understand what intuition and foresight are. I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about that. Intuition, again, I've already, you know, jumped on that. You have to know what it is. It's that gut feeling that tells you you're doing the right thing. Or it's that kind of, something's telling me not to go to so-and-so's house tonight, that I need to stay at home because something's not right. That's that gut feeling, that knowing that, you know, that something's not going to happen the way you think or want it to. That knowing, right? That's intuition. Most of us don't listen to it. And women, oh my God, women, my beast, why do you discount your intuition? That is your enchanted beast reaching up through layers and layers and layers of doubt and self-hatred and, you know, all the other crazies that we allow to be heaped upon us. That intuition, that still quiet voice, that is your beast speaking to you, guiding you, protecting you, loving you. So when you get that gut feeling, when you hear that, girl, this is not the right time, you better start listening, right? Start listening. Start communicating with that little, he's not right for you. You need to start talking with that voice because that is your beast and she's talking with you and you need to get to know her intimately. Yes? All right, I digress. I think I went off on a tangent. Anywho, so it is, oh, this concept of foresight. I think this freaks a lot of people out, having foresight or clairvoyance, right? It's like visions, right? Like I know what's going to happen. I've seen this before, but everybody experiences deja vu, right? Man, I've seen this. It's like I've done this before. Everybody experiences that because everybody is tapped in to the collective unconsciousness. Remember, we all took the blue pill, no choice, right? But as women, right? As women who are connected and walking with our enchanted beast, we took the red pill too. So we have access to the collective consciousness and we're having to raise that for everyone. We cannot do it if we are not willing to listen. Level one. So having foresight, again, you're talking about sight and intuition. What does this have to do with listening? It's kind of simple, really. When we listen with our third eye, right? When we create listening art with our third eye, we're hearing the words that aren't being spoken, right? We're hearing the subtle nuances of the whispered words. They can't really be heard, right? But when we listen with the third eye, when we create art with the third eye, we can hear the words that aren't being spoken. And yes, we're still listening attentively, respectfully, right? We're still being patient. We're still using our, you know, spirit of discernment. Yes, but with the third eye, it's deeper than that. And we are able to ascertain the words that can't be spoken. Right? With third eye listening, we have foresight. We know what is going to be said before it is said. We know why this person is saying what is said, even when they don't. That's third eye listening. That's listening with your whole spirit. We have our spiritual ears on when we listen with the third eye. We're painting with spiritual paint when we create listening art with the third eye. This is something that's beyond physical. This is spiritual listening. I mean, that's some heady stuff, right? This third eye tool creates a pocket of order that is filled with imagination and openness, the beginnings of creativity. Oh man, I'm getting ahead of myself yet again, okay? Let me come back. This third eye allows us to see it all, to hear it all without getting bogged down in the minutiae of it, right? Yet we have access to everything this person is saying and everything this person isn't saying. Things the person wants to say, but don't. They don't know how. We have access to it with third eye listening. Everything this person hopes they're conveying, but they're not really, they're not sure they are. But when third eye listeners are listening, we hear what they really want to say. Things they don't want people to know they're thinking and feeling, right? Third eye listening gives you access to that. And it confuses people when you speak to what they haven't said. They start wondering, is this person a mind reader? No, baby, I'm just third eye listening. Just third eye listening, painting with the third eye. Right? So that's our fourth tool. So, Ella, how do we use this artist toolbox to create listening art? Art so priceless that it elevates more and more new awareness. I'm so glad you asked. Once again, in your toolbox, you have patience, discernment, respect, and the third eye. How do we listen? Are you thinking about how you listen now? How do we listen and create this art? Tools are only as useful as the person who's using them, right? It's not enough to know what these tools are and what they can do for you. You have to know how and when to wield these tools in the creation of your art. I want to talk about sacrifice. Because there are three sacrifices that every artist must make. Every listening artist must make these sacrifices. Wait, Eleanor, you didn't say anything about sacrificing. Well, I have to give up something to be a good listener? Duh. There's no free magic, right? We all have to sacrifice something. So, the first sacrifice is our talents for attention. Wait, what? We're going to give up our talents so that we can be attentive when we listen, right? Now, here's why the sacrifices are important. Let me tell you why they're important before I get into it. These sacrifices are important because where your tools create pockets of order, our sacrifices expand and intensify the scope and breadth of those pockets, right? So using the tools creates the pockets of order. But our sacrifices expands and intensifies those pockets, the scope of those pockets, right? So that is why we have to make the sacrifice. It increases the scope, the space for unhampered motion, activity, or thought. That's what scope is. Scope is a space for unhampered motion, activity, or thought, and sacrifice. Through our sacrifice, we are able to increase the space, the unhampered pocket of order that's been created by the tools. Does that make sense? Okay, I'll get into it. Here we go. The first sacrifice we have to make is our talents so that we're able to give attention. Yes, I know. Oh my God, I know so much about braiding hair. Oh my God, I know so much about IT work. Oh my God, like nobody can tell me anything about social media marketing. I am that girl. Yes, and good for you. However, relax. We know you're talented, but now is not the time to floss. Pay attention. Give that attentiveness to someone else, right? Even when you know that the person who's speaking doesn't know half as much as you do about whatever it is they're talking about, it's okay. No one is questioning whether or not you know what you know. So just stop and pay attention, right? In this sacrifice, or in this acceptance that yes, you are extremely talented. However, it's important to give your attention to someone else and their talent in this moment. In doing this, you accept the space being occupied by someone else because why? Oh yeah, you have that tool of patience in your artist's toolbox. You've been practicing self-control. So you're like hella disciplined and patiently sitting and listening with a patient ear. Right? So now this pocket of space that your silence has created, and because of your sacrifice, it's even bigger. This pocket of space is even bigger. Guess what? Now your speaker has a moment where they can formulate deeper, more thoughtful ideas. And because of this sacrifice, because of this acceptance, right, your willingness to accept the speaker's right to be heard, you have increased the space for unhampered thought, right? You ever talk to someone and they start like fumbling over words initially, and it seems like, gosh, they're just reaching and they're trying to like pull thoughts together. And then as you sit quietly and give them this pocket of ordered silence, and you sacrifice what, you know, oh, let me jump in and tell them what they're looking for. But you sacrifice that and you create more of that pocket of ordered silence. And then all of a sudden, these thoughts start to flow from the speaker. They get a deeper understanding. They become more comfortable, more confident. And you did that because you sacrificed your talents so that you're able to give your attention to someone else. You willingly accepted that the speaker occupied this space and they had a right to be heard. And you were able to slide in that listening tool of patience. Does that make sense at all? I told you all, don't get lost in the metaphor, please. Don't get lost in the metaphor. Okay. So listening is an art through acceptance with the practice of self-control. You are now patient. And you are also able to utilize the tool of presence with the sacrifice of respect, right? So you have two increased pockets of order. And you have all this new consciousness coming up because you've given the speaker time to access that deeper consciousness. And now they're giving you new information, stuff you didn't know. And now there's this shared level of consciousness. Yes? All because you were a good listener. All because you gave a sacrifice of yourself. So, I mean, I don't know. When I think about how impactful that is to simply accept someone else's right to occupy a space and be heard, and in doing so, you empower them to delve down into that collective unconsciousness and bring up so many jewels. And now they're sharing those jewels with you so that they're not a part of the collective unconsciousness anymore. They become a part of your collective consciousness because you two are sharing this information. You are both getting access to this information now. How beautiful is your art when you sacrifice and use your tools? How powerful is it, right? All right, okay, I said there were three sacrifices. The second sacrifice is a biggie. And it is a requirement. Hell, this sacrifice is demanded by your enchanted beast. You don't really have an option if you are going to be elevating subconscious material to the conscious level. Like, really. Lilith didn't give me the option. right? She didn't give me the option. I remember when she demanded the sacrifice for me. Yes, for me. At first, I thought, you know, it was from me that I was making the sacrifice for her. But she schooled me because that's what she does, right? And she says, no, baby, this sacrifice is for you, for your benefit, not mine. I don't need you, Ella. But you definitely need me. So, I accepted the fact that she ruled me. I sacrificed my ego, my false self, for my true self, my enchanted beast, my spiritual self, my soul, right? I willingly accepted that I am secondary to Lilith. I know. And that's hard. That is really, really, really hard. And sometimes I'm still like flexing. I'm still trying to flex, right? And say that this is my life. I'm in charge of what's happening. I decide how things are going to go. Like, I still try and flex. I'm not going to front. But like I said last week, she's bigger than me. She's stronger than me. She has way more teeth than I do. So I'm reminded to sit my little ass down. And shut up and listen, you know? But this sacrifice is mandatory. When we're creating listening art that will elevate new awareness for people all over the world, yes, you definitely have to sit that ego down. Wait, what's the ego? Tell me what the ego is. It's the false you. It's that part of you that's focused on stuff like separation. I don't want to be around people. I don't like dealing with certain people, right? They're always blaming. The ego blames everybody for everything, regardless of what it is. Well, if this hadn't happened, then blah, blah, blah. Well, it was her fault. That's why it's hostile, angry, full of resentment. Prideful, boasted up. She's not proud. She's prideful, boastful, right? Complains about everything. I can't believe they gave me this coffee and it was so freaking hot, it burned my tongue. Chick, you didn't ask for iced coffee. Ego. Jealous, angry, all about power. I want power, but has no idea what real power is. Like, eaten up with materialism. Give me more, give me more, give me more. I'll never have enough. I want a bigger house, a bigger car, bigger jewelry, bigger bank account, bigger job. I want my man's dick to be bigger than yours. Okay? I mean, really, it's so crazy. Madness. That's crazy. Like, crazy, crazy stuff. Always thinking about what happened in the past, always worrying about what's going to happen in the future. I'm the most important. Me, 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 me. That's your ego. And concerned with doing, always needing to be doing something or someone. Hell, I just need to do. That's your ego. How are you going to create listening art with your ego leading the charge? No, baby, we have to sacrifice that. We have to sacrifice the ego and allow our enchanted beast to take the lead. What is your enchanted beast concerned with? What is she all about? Well, she's all about unity. No, it's no I and me, it's we. We are in this together, all of us collectively, right? Focused on understanding, having friends, being a friend. Focused on forgiveness and love, practicing gratitude every day. Happiness is a state of mind for your enchanted beast. Nothing has to happen for her to be happy. She's just happy, right? She's wise, meaning she has the knowledge and she knows how to use it. She's full of peace and sympathy. Her focus is on spiritualism. She doesn't care if she has a lot of stuff. Who needs it? You can't take it with you when you shed this dust and dirt you're made of, right? And her focus is on the now, in the moment. Because the past is over. What are you going to do about it? Your future does not exist. All you have is now. And really, she's down with simple life. Just want to be simple, man. Right? And it's about being. You don't have to do anything. You're not here to do. You are not a human doing. If you did not check out that podcast episode, you need to go check it out. I suck at being a human doing because that's not what I am. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. However, I don't have to do anything. I am simply here to be. That's the sacrifice. You have to sacrifice that ego and allow that enchanted beast to take control. That is how we are designed. And it is the only way we are going to elevate all that subconscious information, right? Of the collective subconscious. It is the only way we're going to elevate that information up and make it a part of the collective consciousness. We have to go from our spiritual selves. It is our beast that will do that. Not us, not our ego. So, you know, Lilith is a cosmic cocktail. That's what I tell people. She is a cosmic cocktail of abundant life and living. Seriously. Like, she has no shits to give about who shot John or he said, she said, who cares? Her only interest is growing and empowering others. That's it. She just wants everybody to grow and be empowered so they can go out and help other people grow and be empowered. So they can go out and help other people grow and be empowered. I am about the business of my beast right now. Because trust me, my ego would rather be laying in bed taking a nap. But my beast says, girl, we have to go out and help our sisters grow. We have to empower them so they can go out and help their sisters grow and empower them. You see what I'm saying? I am about the business of my beast. And this sacrifice increases the scope of the pockets of order created by the use of our artist tools. Now, the tool I use, right, in this sacrificial space, which is everywhere. This is the foundational sacrifice, right? But the tool that really, really comes in handy it's discernment, those spiritual ears. I put on my spiritual ears when I'm creating art in this sacrificial space, when I'm listening spiritually. I use my discernment. There is a knowing, right? There is a knowing, a gathering of information. I'm not there to judge. I'm not there to project my insecurities. No, I am simply there to collect thoughts. That's it. To take what I need, to take what she needs, to become aware, understanding what I need to get from what is being said to me, making new meaning out of that, right? Not soak it up like a sponge, but pull it in, analyze it, do some stuff with it, and then send it back out like a satellite as something completely new. I can't do that. My ego cannot do that. I can't build enough space, enough pockets of order to do that. I have to depend on Lilith. My enchanted beast can create huge pockets of space where deeper thoughts and understanding can start to formulate, where I have time, unhampered time, to really dig in there and think about what I need from that. How can I connect this to my own knowledge and then send it back out so that it's something new unto itself? I need to sacrifice my ego so that my spiritual ears of discernment through my beast can listen, use the information and send it back out, because that is what we are supposed to do, right? That is what we're supposed to do. We are listening with knowing and sensitive intent, so we know what's going on with our speakers, and we know what they need to receive from us because we have this discerning ear. Yes? Now, the last sacrifice is easy once you've made the sacrifice of the ego, right? Once you have said, my spiritual animal, my enchanted beast, my spiritual self is in control, my ego is taking the back burner, then the third sacrifice is like hella easy. I mean, really. The third sacrifice is others over yourself. Wait a minute, Ella. Wait a damn minute. I distinctly remember you yelling, "Me first. If I'm not happy, nobody's going to be happy." What happened to that? Now you want us to do what? Put everybody else's needs before our own? Oh no, I call bullshit, Ella. I'm calling bullshit. Okay. I'll give you. You know who you are. Those of you who've been hanging out in the forest for a while with me, right? I'll give you that. But before you all go, you know, burn the heifer at the stake on me, please give me a minute to explain exactly what this sacrifice means. I am still me first. If I'm not happy, I'm not trying to make anybody else happy. I am still screaming from the rafters, me first. Take care of your beast first. Let her take care of you first. You are your first priority. But that is not what I'm talking about. When I say we sacrifice ourselves for others, it's very simple. Others is the collective consciousness. Self is the personal consciousness. Last week when I was introducing this, you'll remember I said that, now I can't remember his name. But the guy who coined the term collective unconsciousness, I cannot believe I can't remember his name. It'll come to me, probably not. But anywho, there's this concept of the conscious level or the self or the personality. And I said you want to think about it like an iceberg, right? And so the personal consciousness is like the tip of the iceberg. It's what we can see. And it's the smallest aspect of consciousness. It's the smallest aspect of who we are. And then the collective un, or excuse me, and then the personal subconscious is just below the surface of the water. So you can get access to it if you need to, right? It's not out of reach. So you can dig around in there and pull up some stuff if you need to, right? And then you have the collective unconsciousness, which is way down deep in the water, and well, you can get to it, but you're gonna have to work for it, right? It's not gonna be easy. It's not easily seen from the surface. Hell, most people don't even know it exists. Most people think that the iceberg tip is it, right? Most people are assuming that being conscious is all we have. Whatever we can, understand through our five senses, well, that's the only thing that's real. Others of us who are aware that we do have a personal subconscious, we're at least a little bit more enlightened. And then those of us who can say, yeah, I can tap into the collective unconscious when I want to, or at least I know it's there. I know something's anchoring me in this ocean, right? So the self is the personal consciousness. And so we have to sacrifice the tip of the iceberg so we can go even deeper than the collective unconsciousness. We have to go way, way, way down to the collective consciousness that nobody knows about. Except us, right? The ones who took the red pill. We know about it. And that's the sacrifice. So I'm not saying put everybody before you. No, I'm saying that your personal conscious level, that little tip of the iceberg, why would you even want to hold on to that when you can plug into the collective consciousness? It's not really a sacrifice. That's why I said this third and final sacrifice isn't a sacrifice. It is more of a reward, right? It is a reward for your willingness to sacrifice what you know so that you can give other people an opportunity to figure out what they know. It is a reward for sacrificing your ego, right? To your beast. It is a reward, and this reward is access to the collective consciousness. Well, Ella, what exactly is this collective consciousness? It is the knowledge that is shared on a conscious level by everybody. It's kind of like, let's say I have no idea how to do jujitsu because I don't. I have no idea how to do jujitsu. But if I'm plugged into the collective consciousness and I need to do a little jujitsu, theoretically, I should be able to tap that and then do jujitsu, right? The collective consciousness is like a giant computer server where everybody's information, everybody's consciousness is stored. So if I plug into this server that has everybody's awareness stored there, then that means I can go and get access to what Tom over in Saskatchewan is aware of. And I can become aware of that. That's the whole idea. That's the collective consciousness, that there are no secrets. Nothing is kept away from us. There's no knowledge that we don't have access to. That's worth sacrificing the piddly tip of the iceberg when you have access to the entire ocean. Right? So, what does it look like? How do you do this? How do you listen in this sacrificial space? It's kind of like this. Okay? It's a call to action. This sacrifice is a call to action. When you teach, or excuse me, when you learn, teach. When you teach, reach. As you reach, hold. And as you hold, pull. When you pull, support. This is the first step in elevating all that material stored in the collective unconsciousness and raising that collective consciousness from the bottom of the ocean, turning that iceberg on its head so that that collective consciousness is what we see. This is the first step. Right? When you learn something, teach somebody else what you've learned. As you're teaching them this new consciousness, right? Reach out. Reach out for them. Don't just teach them and leave them where they stand. No, when you have learned something, then you go teach somebody what you've learned. And while you're teaching them, I want you to reach out. Offer them your hand. And when they place their hand in yours, you better hold on tight. And once you know you have them secure, you better pull them up with you. Pull them up. And once you have them there beside you, support them. Because guess what they're going to be doing? They've learned something. So now they're going to teach. And then as they're teaching, they're going to reach. They're going to hold. They're going to pull. They're going to support. And you still have to support them because now it's three of you, and this third person is doing the same thing. And it's that's why we women who are connected with our enchanted beasts, that is why we have to raise this consciousness. We have to do it. When we listen to others and give them this space where they find their power, they connect with deeper thoughts and understandings, and they feel empowered to go out and influence others. And you understand? Elevation has to start with listening. Everything is initiated in that third eye tool. This is where we get started, right? We can pull this tool of the third eye into this sacrificial space of sacrificing our piddly personal consciousness for the collective consciousness. In this space, we want to create listening art with the third eye. Because this is where the imagination and openness reside. The third eye opens your deeper mind and allows you to listen with your spiritual self, your whole spiritual self. Your beast takes it in on every freaking level, right? Collecting information with your beast intuitively knows what is needed. Using it to spark imagination, which is where creativity starts. And what are we creating, beast? More and more new consciousness, right? Wow. That's it. That's it for this episode. I want to share just a little bit of what started this. It's a couple of quotes that I mishmatched together and I didn't have, they were all anonymous, but it says, listening is an art that requires attention over talent, spirit over ego, and others over self. And this is a separate quote, but it fits perfectly where most people listen with the intent to reply, but very few listen with the intent to understand. Listening is the beginning of understanding. So I'll leave you with a question. If listening is an art, what's your art look like? What kind of art are you creating? Thank you so much for joining me in the Enchanted Forest. Please come back next Wednesday when we level up to level 2, the level of understanding. Now, if you're interested in joining my newsletter email list, please click the link to my blog and go ahead and sign up so that you can be on the email list. Because I always try and put a little something in there for my enchanted beast. Although it covers all of my writing and my weird enchanted life, it's all about being enchanted. So make sure you go to my blog or click that blog link in the description and sign up for my email, because again, I kind of, you know, put some stuff in there just for you guys. So until next time, be brave, be beautiful, and be enchanting. Goodbye.
This has been Ella Shawn with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember to stay enchanted.